Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I still consider that the Timmy Anderson or Moncada possibility at the top of the order, one or the other, and, you know, vice versa positions. But I want to see them, and I want to be able to actually see beyond that, some of the youngsters that we have in camp. We did it a couple times, not an inordinate amount. I know probably bunted more than I did late inning replacements. As it turns out, I did bunt, I think, the most of anybody in baseball, which was kind of surprising to me. But I think that you have a club at this particular time that I want them to be able to do that as well. But not as much late inning replacement. I would like not to have to do that, to be honest.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Rick Renteria. He is the manager of the Chicago White Sox, and he's talking about his leadoff hitter, and he's talking about choosing between two guys, Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson. And one of those guys will lead off and the other will bat second in the lineup, which brings a lot more clarity to what they're going to do. And it also brings a lot more kind of questioning to what they're going to do.
Does it?
Yes.
So what bothers you about either one of those guys at the top? And does it matter what order they come in? Does that determine your answer? Like, would you rather see one over the other first?
Well, I mean, if I'm choosing between them, as I did during the 5-at-5, I would say that Moncada over Tim Anderson leading off. I mean, see, here's the problem, David. To me, it's a problem. The problem is that you did lead off Moncada, and he did have a lot of strikeouts, and he did look at a lot of pitches. Mm-hmm. So you came back the next year, and you said specifically to him, we want you swinging earlier in at-bats. We don't want you getting yourself, the reason he struck out so much is that he was looking at so many pitches and he wasn't getting calls the way he would have wanted to. And the next thing you know, he's down in the count and he's got to swing at something. And there might have been a better pitch earlier in the at bat. So they encouraged him to swing earlier in at bats. If you are talking about a leadoff hitter, is that what you want from him? You want a leadoff hitter to go out there and swing at the first pitch or swing, you know, and it might be the best pitch you get. So I just think that it's a little bit complicated because he did so much better when you dropped him a little bit in the lineup.
Yeah.
As far as Tim Anderson is concerned, okay, he made his hay at the 7 hole and he won a batting title. Why? And I know there was complaints about it and everything else, but if something worked, why change it? Why assume that it's going to work just as well up higher in the lineup, especially when you've got like so many thumpers and so many guys that that have a chance to be good? Now, you know, somebody said whoever plays second base should be the leadoff guy. I think, like, Leury García has done it before. Maybe he should be the leadoff guy if he's playing. But Madrigal, believe it or not, does not walk a ton because he's such a high contact rate guy. So you want somebody to look at pitches and walk, and you want somebody to you know, help set up the lineup by taking the pitcher out of the game by looking at pitches. So I kind of am with Kevin. I think Grandal is the only guy on that roster that actually takes pitches and has those kind of at-bats. I don't think they have a ton of guys that do that sort of thing. I'm worried that Moncada, I just don't want him getting into bad habits that he had before. And I don't think he fits there. He doesn't walk at all.
Yeah, I don't think Tim Anderson, so let's start with Moncada. You know, he's a young player, and he cut down his strikeouts last year quite a bit.
How?
He cut down his strikeouts from his rookie year or his first full season with the White Sox.
By swinging at earlier in the counts. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the whole plan.
I was just going to finish. Okay, so,
go ahead.
So as Moncada develops and evolves as a young hitter, maybe this is a good spot for him. Maybe he understands that's going to take even more discipline. I don't think he is a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. This is a guy who is shown a high capacity to learn and to adjust, and if that's his requirement and you want him to do that, take more pitches and be more selective, I think he's capable of doing anything and batting anywhere in that lineup. And if first is where they want him, it makes a lot of sense to me. As for Tim Anderson, he actually batted second last year more than he batted seventh, and I think every time he batted seventh, you did wonder, like, what the heck is Ricky Renteria doing? He's got a batting champion batting seventh. And he had 277 at-bats batting second and 114 batting seventh. So almost twice as many. It just stood out when he didn't bat at the top of the order. So that makes a lot of sense putting him there. It's speed. It's not Luis Robert, which I think is something he ruled out yesterday as well, again, because you don't want to put pressure on him. Maybe Madrigal would be fine. Maybe whoever plays second base would make sense. But I think those guys are probably less dangerous. And as we saw with the Cubs, with David Ross, teams are going to want to put two of their top most dangerous hitters, one and two. And that just makes sense. So if it's Anderson first or second, I think Anderson is batted second more frequently, Moncada leading off makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't mind either guy in the two-hole. I just don't like either guy as a leadoff guy. When I'm talking about them, I'm talking about them in terms of the leadoff guy. And I just don't think I don't want Moncada to take a step back in any fashion. I want him surging forward. I want this to be an MVP style season for him. I want the you know, arc of his career to keep heading forward.
Grandal's a good option. I mean, he has certainly the numbers. He walks a lot and people will point that out, and he's always going to be there. I think it seems a bit unorthodox, but maybe they want to go that route. It's always going to be there for them. I think that the Sox finally, though, have a good debate, and it's an embarrassment of riches in their batting order. So that's good. And the best news yesterday might not have been that Ricky Renteria was going to arrive at one of these two guys at the top of the order, but that he promised to bunt less and that the cast of characters is different, as he pointed out. And even though he led the league in bunts last year and sounded surprised at that statistic and to admit it, publicly, doesn't look like that's going to be part of the repertoire as much this season.
Thank God.
No kidding. You have guys hitting the ball out of the ballpark as often as they think the White Sox will hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, here's hoping that plan works too. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Yeah, they've got a lot going on in their lineup. Listen, you know, so much of what's going on with that team has to do with the outfield. And you look at the outfielders that they had a year ago and the outfielders they have now, and I don't understand why you would be bunting with any of those guys. You know, you got guys that can hit. You got guys that can do better things than the group that was there a year ago. It's just a much improved outfield, hopefully, than we were looking at a year ago.
And you didn't add Grandal, Mazara, and Encarnacion to the lineup so they could, like, square up and move the runner along. You're not station to station when you get those guys in your batting order. So that's good. And did you see Madrigal? I think the news yesterday, he did look bulkier, and I think they said that he gained 7 pounds. and that puts him up to
which
what,
is a lot for a guy.
$150
Yeah.
So he looks like he's still he's smaller.
160 Take it easy on the guy. All right.
Is that what he is now?
Well, he's listed at 165 So if he added those pounds, and maybe he's even over 170
Okay.
At
wow.
this point.
That would be good. And he needs to be durable. He says he's five. He's listed at 5'8" He's not 5'8" I don't know.
What is he? 5'7"
He looks 5'8" looks generous. On his tippy toes, maybe.
Hey, listen, man, it's not the NBA, all right? If you can put the bat to the ball, you're going to do all right for yourself.
There's no way Mully is going to approve of this. It's too short.
Oh, that is absurd, Dustin.
Too short for Mully's team.
You know,
You knew I was going.
No, I didn't know that. My philosophy on offensive linemen is I like them big. I like big players to hold up in the NFL. And you took that as a personal slight because you were like a 5'7" defensive tackle or whatever the hell
you're. 5'7", give me a break.
I'm sorry, 5'4" defensive tackle. So
with the 3/4-inch screw-in cleats, I'm at least 5'10".
Oh, are you really?
With the screw in 3/4
Yeah, okay. All right. 312-644-6767
I guess.
Okay. On the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Fascinating to consider that we spend all this time worrying about the leadoff guy, and then you get into the reality of the season, and you just start worrying about who's doing what, who's not doing what, etc.
Well, as Texter, one of them pointed out that Yoan Moncada's WAR last year was higher than Javi Baez's, so he'll be fine wherever you put him in the order. It's a good point. It is worth remembering. I got a kick out of reading Gordon Whitmire, a guy in the Sun-Times this morning. He got a hold of Scott Boras. And Scott Boras, I wondered what he thought of Chris Bryant, you know, leading off. And we talked yesterday about that move and what a stir that created and how that might have, you know, it's going to reduce his opportunities to drive in runs. The traditional RBI stat will go down. Scott Boras argues the other way. This versatility increases his value. Compared him to Mookie Betts. He called him Island Boy because he's on an island. How many different places he can hit in the order, how many different positions he can field defensively. And he also said, this is a guy, and his final quote is, now he just needs an appropriate nickname, and that is Elmer, because he's Elmer's glue for the Cubs.
Boy.
So Chris Bryant is now known as Elmer.
Would you fire your agent if he nicknamed you Elmer?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I might fire my agent, though, if he didn't find a way to put a positive spin on this. And Scott Boras did. That's what Scott Boras does. And it gave him a day, and he came up with probably, you know, we didn't read about probably 16 different metaphors and now two different nicknames.
Does Fud Bryant like that nickname?
I don't know. Is that what you're going to go by now?
Well,
you're
Elmer gonna, Fudd, right? Yeah. Isn't that what you right. think of? Yeah. No?
Wask we wabbit. Make some good points. So, you know, all kidding aside, the value of Chris Bryant, this does potentially increase it. It makes him more valuable, maybe not from a statistical analytical standpoint, but the versatility is something that you can, you say it's invaluable. No, you can put a price on it, and they will. And I think that this probably is his way of reminding people that, no, this isn't going to make him easier to sign it because it could just complicate things.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what his job is, to talk about the value of the player and talk about how everything he does increases his value. That's fine. That's what his job is. It just, you know, you want to talk about a guy you don't want to hear from right now in the Chris Bryant saga?
Who?
That guy, Scott Boras. Oh, yeah. That's the guy you don't want to hear from. You know, they're going to keep him. Everything's going to be okay. Look at what a great sacrifice he's making. He's the team guy. Oh, wait a minute. The money man wants to say something. He needs more dough. Well, hey, the price is going up. Boop, boop, boop. You know, it's just the carnival barker ought to just sit back until the circus comes to town.
I'm glad he picked up the phone, though. It's interesting. He's always – I'm not – yeah, I know what you're saying. This is the kind of thing, though, on February 21st you can entertain. It's a bigger distraction later in the year. But this is Boras being Boras.
Oh, it's Boras being Boras, and it's Boras being, you know, very, very much a part of the whole thing. But it's also, if I'm Theo, I'm calling the Nationals again and saying, hey, remember the third time we talked, that other deal that you were going to include? I'm just saying.
Our guy John Heyman shot that down. That's a good pivot, probably. And my sense is they probably are still taking those phone calls, or if they're being made.
Yep.
But this, putting him at leadoff spot wasn't an announcement. And Chris Bryant being as definitive as he was in accepting it, did that kind of tell people, okay,
we're keeping him,
putting this on hold.
Yes, yeah, everything's on hold.
Let's wait and see. This is a fluid situation. But the next time this is going to become real is near the trade deadline, when teams are desperate. And the Nationals, for instance, might be more inclined to give up some of the prospects you were discussing when this trade conversation took place a month ago.
The Nationals, by all accounts, are interested in taking a look at their options. They were talking to the Cubs, and now they've gotten to a point where they're in camp and they're kind of, okay, let's see what we have. Let's see how this works out.
I would describe it as fluid.
And the situation is fluid, because if they discover that they don't have a legitimate option at third base, then they probably will be back on the phone. And as you say, that's when deals get done.
Well, Heyman tweeted out yesterday that the Nationals are giving their top prospect, Carter Kaboom, I think it is.
Kaboom.
What a great name for a hitter. Kaboom.
Duke Kaboom.
He gets a shot, first shot at
you
replacing.
You didn't see Toy Story 4?
Not yet.
Okay. Duke Kaboom is the Keanu Reeves character, right? Ah. Is it Duke Kaboom? Look it up. Just
I did not know
head.
That.
No.
I didn't shake my head. I kind of shrugged. But yeah, I did. I did look it up. Duke Kaboom. He looks like a playoff of like an Evel Knievel type.
He is the Canadian Evel Knievel. Ah. It is absolutely the funniest part of that movie. It's fantastic. Great character. You gotta love Keanu.
I love Toy Story 4.
And that's when I heard Carter Kaboom. Yeah. That's all I could think of was Duke Kaboom. Duke Kaboom. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they hire a Canadian actor to play the Canadian role?
He is Canadian.
Keanu?
Is it Keanu? Yeah, I think he is.
Is he Canadian?
I believe he is.
I'm not sure. I can't remember what I was talking about. So, yeah, Keanu Reeves, good actor.
Oh, he is good so voice. Funny yeah. in that. Oh, good what, movie. What do you say? No.
He is Canadian.
What did I just say?
I had no idea. He doesn't have an accent.
I'm going to come in there and talk to you. He doesn't have an accent. Yeah, they have. He's a very Canadian character. It's outstanding. But
it's a good franchise. That's Toy Story. I like the first three.
Oh, Toy Story. Yeah, that's great. And it won. Great. Toy Story 4 won Best Animated Film,
did
right?
It?
I believe it did. Think about that.
Wow.
Like, you get to the fourth one and you're winning an Oscar. That's pretty good.
He's still cranking them out.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the fifth one.
Toy Story 5. We're working on a script right now. But anyway, Kaboom is the man, right? He's gonna ride his motorcycle out to third base and hopefully do his acrobatics.
Yep. No current talks with the Cubs, though. That was a point. And Cubs had asked for Robles. They had asked for a combination of some young pitchers involving, I think, John referenced a pitcher, Rutledge.
Right.
And a package involving Kaboom.
Yeah.
So not something that they're going to be entertaining now. It doesn't sound like it's going to be something that's on the front burner.
If indeed you end up trading Chris Bryant, do you feel sorry for the players involved in that trade? I mean, you know, you look at the Chris Sale deal. There's pressure put on the players that come over in that deal to live up to a guy that that won a World Series.
I feel sorry for Cubs fans if they trade Chris Bryant. The players involved will always, you know, have something to live up to. But I would feel sorry for Cubs fans. Sorry for Chicago. I hope that this is a reprieve. I hope that he takes advantage of it. And I think a guy like if you're a young prospect, you're going to have pressure on you anywhere. And if you're traded for a superstar, that probably increases it. But these guys are used to that. If they're a highly rated prospect, Carter Kaboom also apparently has, according to one of our texters, his father is a local guy, went to EIU and maybe Marian Catholic.
Did not know that. Wow.
Duke Kaboom, Canada's greatest stuntman. Huh. Oh, yeah. Huh. Huh. Yes.
Huh? Yeah. He's posing. Huh. Duke, we need
Hold
to...
Hold on, one more. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, it's...
That's why we need this trade to happen.
Have you seen the movie?
I have not.
Oh, come on.
I know. I need to.
If anyone sees the movie, he is the star of the movie. I mean, that's the different... He's a real difference maker. Well, he should have gotten a Best Supporting Actor nod instead of that that Brad Pitt. We don't like him, right?
We don't know what he's doing.
didn't the president go after Brad Pitt?
He's a wise fake guy. News, that Pitt.
He said he's a wise guy or something. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do it like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. KC Johnson, working with NBC Sports, covering the Chicago Bulls, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, KC, how are you this morning?
Hey, KC.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Oh, just warming up with some three-pointers, you know, getting ready for the big game, post-All-Star break. Boy, that was ugly last night. No offense to anyone, but that was a tough one to watch, especially 0 for 15 in the first half from three-point land and 0 for 17 before they kind of turned it around a little bit. But nonetheless, just a awful shooting night and a bad loss, given the fact that you thought they could beat that team and they fell behind early and stayed behind.
Yeah, I would place that first half up there with some of the worst basketball of the season. Now, obviously, they're incredibly stretched thin right now with all the injuries and you know, starters and critical rotation players out. They only had 9 healthy players available last night. But one of the things Jim Boylan talked about, you know, at the start of the season for his goals was to establish a style of play so that, you know, no matter who was available, they just plug and play. You know, I mean, the model he held up was the Spurs model. And, you know, obviously he has held to a system of play that's drawn some scrutiny this season. But, you know, last night, that first half was hard to watch. So, yeah, it's tough sledding right now for the Bulls, 7 straight losses, and they've now fallen below Charlotte, so they're in 11th in the East. I think we can stop putting this playoff talk to bed because it's not looking good right now.
That's easy to do, KC, and it's easier to look forward and ahead. And you reported yesterday that as we continue to kind of discuss what's next for the Bulls and how they might, you know, shake up their front office to bring in a strong presence, then that, you know, empowering presence, I think is the way that you have worded it, Pacers GM Chad Buchanan has been a guy that they have been told is worth looking into, and they have. How do you interpret that? Is that just one of several that will be guys that will be considered, and where does this how's this going to unfold?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the sense I've gotten is you know, the Bulls are in the information gathering process and, you know, seeking input from a wide variety of people on, you know, who they think are good people to pursue. And that will happen at some point, I would assume maybe after the season. Obviously, a lot of these people are going to be employed for playoff teams and, you know, will be busy with their respective teams until that point. You know, the Chad Buchanan name is one I heard too many times over All-Star weekend to not explore it further. And then I finally got a hold of somebody yesterday that actually even called him a quote top target. So, you know, the Bulls are really in a touchy spot right now. So, you know, everything about this story is coming from the outside. And I would just say that my sense is that because they sought input from so many people that the list is probably a pretty long one. But Chad Buchanan is a guy that, you know, has worked with a strong-minded, culture-setting person above him wherever he's been. And that person mostly has been Kevin Pritchard, whom he worked with in both Portland and currently in Indiana. Kevin is pretty well-respected and regarded around the league for, you know, some of the teams that he's built and the culture that he's set. So I think the fact that this name resonated with me is it shows that it's somebody, you know, they could probably work in a similar situation with John Paxson. And, you know, as has been reported in multiple places, including by myself, John's going to be around as much or as little as the Reinsdorfs want him to be. That's just the allegiance John feels to this franchise and this ownership group. So, you know, I think ideally John would want to be in the background a little bit more. And Chad Buchanan is, you know, one of several people that could run a team while John kind of moves into that role.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Casey. And I think that you just look at the places he's been and the way that they have drafted and the way that they have put teams together, that speaks pretty well for him, Chad Buchanan. I mean, you know, the Pacers are an interesting team. That is a team that that is pretty damn good and probably surprised a lot of people by being pretty good, and a team that you're going to have to account for come playoff time. I don't know that they're going to be able to make the kind of noise that that they want to, but they're an interesting team.
Well, I talked to Thad Young about it in postgame last night for a story that's going to be posting here soon at NBCSportsChicago.com. Thad spent two seasons with me in Indiana,
yeah.
And I don't want to make it seem like Chad Buchanan is the be-all and end-all. I don't think this is a list of one, as I guess what I'm trying to say here. But I do think that he's somebody that I've heard his name enough now that obviously I reported what I reported. Thad said that two things that really jumped out to me is that, you know, this is a guy who's mostly worked in small markets. He's worked in Portland. He's worked in Indiana. He spent three seasons with Charlotte when he was away from Pritchard working for another organization. And, you know, the fact that he's worked in a small market and been largely successful, the Charlotte stint was not like that, but Indiana and Portland speaks well of his, you know, ability to work within the margins. And then the bigger thing that jumped out to me is that I said, you know, every time I went in to talk to that guy in the office, the first thing he always asked me is, what can we do for you? What can we do to make you better? What can we do to make your family more comfortable? He said he cares about you, not only as a player, but as a person. So, you know, again, I think there's a lot of attractive candidates out there. But I do think the fact that he has worked with Pritchard in a role that probably, you know, you can envision him working with John Paxson is something that jumped out to me.
And yet, Casey, you know you're going to run into this. Chad Buchanan's name is not one that necessarily resonates with a lot of NBA fans. There are going to be other guys on this list that might not be proven, recognizable, common. They're not going to be Sam Presti. They're not going to be Masai Ujiri. They're not going to be guys who have done this before at a high level. How do you explain that? And I think that we talked about it earlier in terms of you didn't know who Sam Presti was at one point either. But is that going to be an obstacle the Bulls will have to clear?
I think the way I would answer that, David, is since one of the Bulls been, you know, worried by or swayed by public opinion. I mean, you know, there's been fire Garpak sentiment, you know, well before the public spectacles at All-Star Weekend. I mean, it's been going on for years. You know, you guys know Jerry as well as I do, and Michael, you know, to some extent as well. These are people that make their decisions based on what they think is best for the franchise. They're not going to be swayed. In some ways, they almost get more defiant or more dug in when there's that. So they're going to identify, you know, another thing I want to emphasize that I think has been reported, I know it's been reported by me, is I don't feel like this front office structure has been finalized yet. I think this is very much in the planning stages. It's just, you know, this is, you know, I know they're going to overhaul the scouting department. There's a lot they want to do. I don't think they have it in concrete yet. So I think this is a fluid process. And I also think that the Reinsdorfs, like I said, are going to do what they think is best for the franchise, and they're not going to be worried by the public reaction. I think that's been pretty proven over time with both franchises that Jerry has run.
When we think about this team, and, you know, again, back to what happened last night, there was a point where Jim Boylan decided to challenge they were down 9 with 40 seconds left, and he decides to challenge a 3-point play and loses the challenge. Was this just a version of calling a timeout? I mean, is he just finding new and more clever ways to extend his time as head coach?
Yeah, it is officially a timeout when you lose a challenge. Yeah, so right. we'll add that one to the list. You know, I think it's I don't know. It's like a big, you know, Jim coaching to the end. I think it's become a thing now. I think Jim is another person who is very dug in and not really worried about public and outside perception. I remember the timeout in Toronto when the announcer for the other team was going off about that timeout, and that's exactly, you know, what I asked him post game, which he didn't really, you know, love being asked about, but you know, are you coaching? Is the point here that you're coaching to your team and your needs to the point where you don't care about convention and you're not worried about bothering other teams? Because in that game, he called the timeout to set up the play for Adam Makoka when they're down 25 points with whatever. They're running together at this point. But, you know, I think it's just kind of that's how Jim is operating now. Even if you save the point there and you knock it down from a 3-point play to a 10 to two free throws, or let's say you even save 3 points there, you're still down 7. They wipe the basket off. You're down 7 with 40 seconds to go. Have comebacks like that happen? Sure. Does it show competitive by Jim? Sure. You know, does it show that he's coaching to the end? Sure. Does it also show some unconventional aspects? Absolutely. And I think at this point, Jim is, I don't know if he's relishing in that as much as he doesn't really care how it looks and how it affects other teams or how it affects convention.
Casey was there last night before the game, and Jim Boylan was asked repeatedly about Coby White and kind of where he is in his development and what role he fits moving forward. And, you know, I think that there was a lot to like about what he has done so far. He struggled last night, missed all 5 3-pointers. These final 26 games is probably as important. Maybe it's priority one to find out exactly what you have, or do you already know?
Well, John Paxson has publicly said they don't know what they have. So I will say that I have been a huge supporter and defender of how Jim has used Coby and kind of on islands at points, because there's been a lot of screaming for Coby White to start prior to last night, and I have not agreed with that. Last night was the first time where I went the other way. I was personally, shocked might be too strong a word, but I would say I was pretty strongly personally surprised that Ryan Arcidiacono started. The only justification I can see for it is that, and Jim said this pregame, is you know, he wants to keep Coby in that same role for familiarity. Apparently, he doesn't want to throw too much on the 19-year-old's plate. But all we heard for a day and a half was, you know, the usage of Satoransky, Levine, and White, and how that's a lineup that has worked some, and he wants to explore it further. What better way to do it than by giving the kid his first NBA start? It's not like he's been afraid of the moment. That has been one thing that's completely been proven by that kid throughout this season. He has stepped up in big moments. He is not afraid to take the big shot. So he's not going to be overwhelmed, in my estimation, by an NBA start. Again, it's probably a small thing. I mean, his minutes are going up, which is obviously a good trend. At some point down the stretch here, you got to start that kid. You got to see what you have in him. And I thought last night was going to be the first opportunity. I was surprised when it didn't happen.
Yeah. They could be getting guys back now too, right? So we know people are practicing. So maybe things change, but I'd love to see something from him.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you got to believe that this season's going to move into pretty much full developmental mode. I mean, yeah. John Paxson has pointed to those final games when everyone does get back, if everyone does get back. But Chris Dunn won't get back. He's basically out for the season. But other than him, you know, as an evaluation period, but you know, as I keep saying, the playoffs, I don't know what they're focused on that anymore for. I mean, it's not happening. So you got to focus on identifying how those players play together, and Kobe's a big part of the future. So he needs to be out there a lot. Like I said, he has played more. I think adding a start to that experience would be beneficial at some point.
KC, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Good stuff.
All right. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-591-6700. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Bulls against the Thunder on February 25th, courtesy of 670 The Score, the official radio home of Bulls basketball. 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll get to your calls eventually. We got Andrew Brandt next. We're going to talk about this CBA and the benefits to both sides, and whether the players are going to rush to kind of approve things in the fashion in which the owners have.
And the way that the owners are spinning this and putting the pressure on the players to do just that.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.